a new H2A labor opportunity for Michigan dairy farmers. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Michigan Ag Today News. The Trump administration is opening a new door for dairy producers who are struggling to find enough workers. New guidance from the Departments of Homeland Security and Labor clarifies that dairy operations may now qualify to use the H-2A guest worker program if they can demonstrate a temporary or seasonal labor need. Greg Allen has more.
Until now, most dairy farms were effectively shut out of the program because milking cows is a year-round operation. Under the new policy, dairy employers can submit H-2A petitions that meet the same temporary or seasonal standards already required of other agricultural employees, with each application reviewed on a case-by-case basis. Brian Rexing, chairman of the National Milk Producers Federation, says,
"It will allow our workers to be here on a longer basis, but not without check-ins, to give us an opportunity to obtain a workforce that we can educate and teach how to work on these dairies. And, dairying is not... It's not just a routine every day, it's a learning process, and it takes time. And this program will give us a chance to really train and educate a workforce that we can secure."
However, the change does not create a year-round visa category, meaning many dairy farms will still be looking to Congress for broader agricultural labor reform. Rexing calls the move a positive first step toward addressing the industry's ongoing labor shortage.
"This has been a long-time problem. So let's don't try to fix it with just one swipe at it. Let's something this we can introduce, we can start working with, and then hopefully we can change and adapt as things go on. I don't know that this will fix it, but this is a really, really good start."
For Indiana dairy producers, the guidance could provide greater flexibility during seasonal peaks, such as calving, breeding, or other periods of increased labor demand, while stopping short of solving the industry's long-term workforce challenges. I'm Greg Allen.
Looking for heavy equipment but don't know where to buy? Purple Wave Auction has you covered. Always online and always no reserve. It's your destination for construction or ag equipment ready to work. We even sell semis, trailers, and fleet equipment for your operation. Best part? It's free to join. Head to purplewave.com. That's purplewave.com. Sign up for a free account and start bidding today. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
Hi, I'm Skip Byersdorf from Saginaw County, and you're listening to Michigan Ag Today.
Very warm, very humid air continues to dominate across the Great Lakes. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with that Michigan Farm Forecast. We continue to see a very active precipitation track coming over the top part of this hot dome and this ridge coming through central and northern parts of Michigan today. It does look like that sags a little bit farther south overnight tonight. We may see some scattered showers into southern tier counties of Michigan around daybreak tomorrow morning. But this hot dome does not break down yet. We still stay very warm and very humid through tomorrow through Thursday and into early Friday. Just the difference between north and south is going to be who gets rain showers in the afternoon and evening and who does not. Again, tomorrow we can see that maybe getting down to southern tier counties in Michigan. The rest of the time it wants to stay central and north. Everything changes as we get into the end of the week. On Friday, a significant storm complex comes out of Nebraska, across Iowa, southern Minnesota, eventually tracking through the Great Lakes, giving good rains through not just Michigan, but down into northern Illinois, Indiana, sagging southward. And this kicks off a weekend that has hit and miss, the scattered showers and thunderstorms around. I know it's the July 4th holiday weekend. It's not ideal, but even though I've got moisture in the forecast, I do think there will be dry windows of opportunity through for celebrations. Don't cancel everything just yet. But combined over the weekend, I think we can pick up anywhere from half to maybe 1.5 inches of rain out of multiple rain threats. Getting into next week, I think we dry down a little bit Monday, Tuesday. The rain threats focus a little bit farther south for the first part of next week. And then we see some scattered showers come back the later half, the second half of next week. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
USDA is getting set to release its big quarterly report at noon Eastern time today, but let's take a look back at how the grain markets performed on Monday. And with that, we check in with Andy Eubank and with Mike Castle with StoneX. They spoke at the close of trade Monday.
Sharply lower corn, soybeans, and wheat to open up the week, and I believe new contract lows for July corn. So, Mike, it was a weak day. Probably some headwinds that you can explain, but the degree of the sell-off was a bit surprising to me. You?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely a lot sharper of a move than a guy would have expected. Again, like you mentioned, they're hitting new lows on July, also on new crop or December corn as well. We did see July corn dip below that $4 mark. Obviously, a lot of folks rolling out to the SEP at this point, but still, it just kind of speaks to the huge drop that we've seen in prices here recently. Ugly sell-off at soybeans, wheat as well. Kind of just an ugly day across the board. Coming up on the end of a month, the end of a quarter, obviously some money flow pressure there, maybe some positioning ahead of not just, you know, crop progress, but also both quarterly stocks and our June acreage report coming out at 11 Central, noon Eastern. So a lot, you know, kind of on the table here this week, especially, you know, as we move deeper into the growing season, getting into pollination here in the next few weeks, keeping an eye on weather. So overall, I mean, a lot to, you know, kind of look at here, but everyone's kind of waiting for that big report and overall just kind of triggering this really, really ugly sell-off to start the week.
To the Tuesday reports, what's the major concern in the trade? Is it stocks numbers?
I definitely do think that's kind of the biggest. So your average estimate here would put corn stocks at over 5.4 billion as of June 1. That would be the biggest in several decades. I think you'd have to go back to the late 80s. Beans, you know, at a six-year high, just under 1.05 billion. So overall, it's just kind of a reminder to the market that there is ample supply out there.
Once again, Mike Castle with StoneX. Settlements from Monday, July corn dropping 10 and 3 quarters to 402. September corn 11 and a half lower for 10 and a quarter. July soybeans tumbling 17 and a half cents to 1108 and 3 quarters. August beans 17 and a quarter lower, 1119 and a quarter. And July wheat down 8 3/4 to 569 1/2. August live cattle losing $2.25 to 243.57, but July lean hogs up 90 cents Monday to close at 93.82. MichiganAgToday.com is your website for all the latest farm news. I'm CJ Miller, Michigan Ag Today, Michigan's Farm Network.